HarperCollins presents The Desert Prince by Peter V. Brett, read by Jack Tyvee and Kit Griffiths.
Chapter 1. I am Olive. 349 AR. My head jerks as Mika pulls a lock taut while she sections and plaits my long black hair. I'm used to it. I can't remember a time I wasn't being yanked around to meet expectations. Hold still, Grandma Milona snaps, putting another dusting on the brush. Almost powdered your eyeball. What's the point of painting my face, I grumble, when I have to go dressed in a canvas top? Ilona laughs. There's always time for the powder kit. I know she means it. I've never seen Grandmum looking anything less than perfectly put together. She finishes my eyes and gets to work on my lashes. You're Princess of Hollow. Might have to put on the same potato sack as the other apprentices, but those girls look up to you. Can't settle for being anything less than the prettiest one in the room. Mistress Darcy is going to give a test today in Herblore, I say. I need time to prepare notes with Selin. Tst! Mika hisses her disapproval. You should have thought of that last night, sister. Mika and I share a father, Armand Jardir, who sits atop the throne of Krasia, the vast and powerful empire to the south. Theza and Krasia were at war before I was born. Some folks say they would be still, if not for me. Mother says that's nonsense, but not so much that she'll let me visit Father's court. Most of what I know about my people, I learned from Mika and my instructors in school. Mika was raised in Krasia, evidenced by the modest black robes covering everything save her hands and face. She, too, powdered her cheeks and painted her lips, though the only ones who will see it are the people in this room and Mika's wife, Kendall. Mika is beautiful by anyone's standards, but when she leaves the privacy of my chambers, she will drape a white marriage veil over the lower half of her face. With more than 30 summers, Mika is twice my age and has always been more nanny than sister. The Duchess always makes time if I want to see her, but her attendants and counsellors hover, and I'm left feeling like I'm holding up some urgent decision. Mika is the one who does my hair, scrubs my back, and escorts me everywhere. I love her, and she loves me. But I am still a child to her, and her rules can be smothering. That good-for-nothing daughter of mine ain't gonna be much help with your test anyway, Grandmum says. Selin's as bright as she is pretty, and that ain't a lot. Besides, you're the Duchess's daughter. Who cares about some herb-gathering test? The Duchess, I say. If I get a single answer wrong, night, even if I get one right but not right enough, I'll never hear the end of it. Grandmum chuckles. Aye, that sounds like my Leisha. Still think you should be more worried about the practice ring than Herblore. Only just stopped powdering that bruise on your cheek. Selin threw a lucky punch. It's the truth, if not the whole truth. Selin throws a lot of lucky punches. She's Captain Wanda's prized student. It was gone overnight. Still had a shadow in the morning. Grandmum isn't one to give in, even when she's wrong. And that ain't the point. Got guards everywhere. What do you need to be scrapping in the yard for? Sharusark is more fun than Herblore, I say. At least I'm good at fighting. Known a lot of folks that were good at fighting over the years, Grandmum says. Funny how few of them are still around to keep the rest of us company. A princess is always a target for her family's enemies, Mika cuts in. Someday the guards may not be with her, and Olive will be glad to know how to defend herself. I resist the urge to roll my eyes. What does Nanny Mika know of fighting? I've never seen her so much as step on a bug. She doesn't even eat meat. You're a princess too. Why don't you have to fight? The Kaji tribe has many princesses, Mika says. If something happens to me, there are dozens to take my place. Hollow has only you to succeed your mother. There is no sadness in her tone. She could be talking about the weather. Still, the words settle heavy on my shoulders. Mika's mother was low in the pecking order of father's many wives. Mika wasn't much older than me when she was sent from the famed summer palaces of Krasia to live in cold, rainy Theza among people once her enemy, playing nursemaid to her little sister. Does she resent her exile? I certainly would. But Mika has never so much as hinted dissatisfaction with her life. She's happier in Hollow than I am. Finished, Mika pronounces. And here, Ilona gives a last swipe of red to my lips. Pucker? I press my lips together, evening the colour as I look in the mirror. For all my talk of hurry, I can't help but smile at Grandmum's handiwork. I'm a fair hand with the brush, but Ilona, famously averse to work, is an artist with the powder kit. I have my father's olive skin, uncommon this far north, but she's matched it perfectly, smoothing my skin and adding natural-looking accents to my high cheeks and sharp jaw. Blue eyes are a rarity in Krasia, but they're not unheard of. Someone in father's family must have had them, because mine are the same sky blue as Ilona's. They contrast with my dark complexion, but she's framed them with shadows and thickened the lashes, making the flash of colour explode. Mika's plaits form a perfect crown around my head, weaving to gather into a long braid in back. Elegant enough to suit even the Duchess, yet secure for the practice yard. You've got a weaver's touch with hair, girl. Ilona reaches to tug at my sister's scarf. Yet you keep your own wrapped up like a washerwoman. Mika doesn't like anyone touching her headscarf, but she says nothing, simply drawing back out of reach. Sometimes I think I'm the only person in the world not terrified of Grandmum Ilona. You know why. She does, but it makes no difference. Grandmum is never so alive as when she's talking about something that makes everyone uncomfortable. Aye, Ilona snorts. It's unseemly to tempt men with something they can't have. Like that ain't the whole point. Can't wrap men around your finger without putting their heads in a spin. I need no men on my finger, Mika says. Nor anywhere else, Ilona laughs. How is Kendall? Nanny Mika is usually so outspoken, but she gets shy when anyone mentions her wife. Kendall Demonsong is Mother's royal herald. Kendall is boisterous and charming, clad in vibrantly coloured motley, often with cuts modest Mika must find scandalous. But the two of them are more in love than anyone I know. Mika drops her eyes. My jiwa, she uses the Krasian word for wife, is well, thank you. She holds a coarse blue gatherer's apprentice dress for me to step into. The fabric is dark and absent of design, woven more for warmth and stain resistance than comfort. The cloth scratches at my skin, and I hate it, and everything it represents. This isn't who I am. Night, sometimes even I don't know who I am, but I know I'm not this. I slip into sensible brown canvas shoes, comfortable and forgettable, whether in garden soil or university halls. I know every cobbler in Hollow by name, and have an entire room full of shoes. Boots and sandals, heels and flats, a shoe for every outfit and occasion, made from polished leather, fine silk, or snakeskin. But most days, I have to wear canvas, because that's what Mother wore as an apprentice 30 summers ago. Eyes shut! Grandmum sprays a cloud of perfume, and I walk through it as she taught me. Don't want folk spinning tales about how the Princess of Hollow smells after shadow sack practice. Nonsense, I say. I sweat roses and cinnamon. Grandmum cackles, soothing the coarse shoulders of the dress. Even in a potato sack, you're still the prettiest girl in Hollow. Like your mum before you, she winks. Like your grandmum, back in her day. You're still first, I say, only partly in jest. Grandmum is on the shady side of 60, but her hair is still black as night, a perfect contrast with her smooth, pale skin. She has powder and dye and low necklines working for her, but so does every other woman at court. Even the younger ones don't draw attention like Ilona Paper. Charming as a jongleur. Ilona takes my arms and leans in, kissing the air beside my cheeks so as not to muss the powder on my face. Grandmum fights with every other woman she meets, but for some reason I've always kept on her good side, and I'm happy for it. I snatch my books and hurry from my chambers, Ilona and Mika trailing behind. My Aunt Selin is waiting in the hall downstairs. She's 3 months younger than I am. They put our cribs in the same room, and we've been inseparable ever since. Selin is the only person I know whose existence is as much a scandal as my own. Grandmum's affair with General Garrod is the stuff of Jongleur's tales, and nearly broke two marriages. Grander Ernie seems to have gotten used to it. Selin's stepmother, Emilia, not so much. Grandmum takes one look at Selin's hair and sniffs. Ilona's hair is lustrous black, like the deep of night, and General Garrod was said to have hair as yellow as the sun in his youth. But Selin's is uneven, with bright spots that approach blonde and dull patches that are closer to brown.
Couldn't you get your maid to run a comb through that bird's nest before you braided it?
Then where would the birds live? Unable to please her mother, Selin has learned to take pleasure in displeasing her. She turns to me. Did you ask the Duchess about the borough tour? The tour comes once a year on summer solstice, a chance for children coming of age to see the far reaches of the duchy. The tour visits each of the massive great wards that protect Hollow from demonkind before venturing beyond their protection for a visit to the borderlands.
She ain't going, and neither are you!
Grandmum sounds angry. The only thing worse than displeasing her is ignoring her.
Got everything you need here in the capital, and hot water in pipes. Seeing how the unwashed bumpkins live is overrated, and don't get me started about sleeping on the ground.
It will be exciting, Selin continues to ignore her mother, baiting her on purpose. Who knows, we might even see a demon. I roll my eyes. Selin and I have spoken to a lot of returning tourists over the years, and none have ever seen more than a bush rattled by the breeze. Everyone knows the demons were wiped out in the war.
Didn't have the great wards when I was your age, Ilona says. Seen a lifetime's worth of demons? You ain't missing much.
Selin crosses her arms.
Dahl already said I can go.
Aye, is that right?
Ilona puts her hands on her hips.
Just see about that.
Says you're welcome to come by if you want to discuss it.
Selin's eyes glitter with delight as Grandmum's scowl deepens. They both know Ilona won't dare visit General Garrod's house. If there's anyone in the world who's a match for Grandmum, it's Selin's stepmother, Emilia.
He's going to have to come out of hiding sooner or later, Ilona growls.
But she lets it go at that, turning on her heel to stomp off. Selin makes a rude gesture at her back.
Tst, Mika hisses.
The Avesia teaches us gloating cheapens a victory and invites Everam to teach us a lesson in humility.
Aye, maybe, Selin agrees. But night if it doesn't feel good.
I don't understand why I always need to pick a fight, I say to Selin as we hurry out to the courtyard.
Maybe you'd get your way once in a while if you picked more,
Selin says. A carriage is waiting to take us to Gatherer's University. Wanda Cutter, captain of Mother's Houseguard, is chatting with the driver.
Morning, Olive!
Wanda gives me a warm smile. Her small eyes are set over an oft-broken nose on a heavy, scarred face. Captain Wanda is bigger than all but the tallest men in Cutter's Hollow, and even in peacetime, she takes her work seriously, always wearing her wooden breastplate and bristling with weapons. A quiver of arrows is secured at her back, along with her unstrung bow. I've seen how fast she can string it if she senses trouble. And she takes the archery ribbon every solstice festival. There's a long knife on her thigh, and a spear harnessed crosswise with the bow on her back. Not some elegant fencing spear for festival games. This is a short, brutal thing, designed for one purpose. Folk still whisper about Wanda's exploits in the demon war. She looks around, then reaches into her pocket, producing two small twists of paper.
Snuck you two some sugar candy, but don't tell your mum you got it from me.
The gift says everything a person needs to know about Captain Wanda. She loves us, would give her life for us, but we'll always be children to her.
Sonny! Selin snatches her candy and has it out of the wrapper and into her mouth in one smooth move.
Thanks, one. I take my candy, slipping it into a pocket of my dress. I feel bad seeing her look of disappointment when I don't eat it right away like Selin. I love Captain Wanda,
and want to make her happy. But I'm not a child anymore. What are you doing here? I ask. It's rare for Wanda to leave my mother's side.
Oh, eh?
Captain Wanda rubs the back of her neck, no longer meeting my eyes.
Just passing through and saw the carriage. Figured I'd see you off.
She's a terrible liar. But I don't press. Captain Wanda may be clumsy at keeping Mother's secrets, but she keeps them, for the most part. Wanda turns to go, then pauses, as if remembering something.
By the way, your mum is stopping by the university later.
She doesn't wait for a reply, turning back and marching swiftly up the stairs.
See you in the practice yard.
What was that about? Selen asks. A warning, I say. The new stable boy, Perrin, sets the steps so we can climb into the carriage. Perrin is very tall, with a jaw I've caught myself staring at more than once. Grandmum called him a young colt, leering when she said it. Selen throws him a wink as he closes the door. What was that? I ask.
What was what?
Selen's mouth twitches, barely containing her smile. I nod slightly at Mika, raising a questioning brow. My sister will happily gossip about everyone, but we all know she reports everything Selen or I do to Mother. Selen shrugs, the smile breaking out across her face.
We kissed for 3 hours yesterday.
I gape. You did not.
Psst!
Mika wrinkles her nose. The boy shovels your stables. He would not make a worthy husband.
And looking for a husband?
Selen laughs. Just a warm pair of lips. I turn to Mika. Please don't tell Mother.
Ha!
Mika waves a hand. If I told your mother every time Selen kissed a boy, I would have time for nothing else. Selen barks at that. I frown, jealous of her freedom. It's easier to think of Mika as our nanny, since she's cared for both of us since we were in nappies. But Mika is here for me, not Selen. She would never keep a secret like that for me, or let a boy close enough to kiss in the first place. I think I'm the only girl in class who's never done it. Selen, well, I've lost count. I hug my herb law book to my chest, staring out the carriage window. Selen gives my shoulder a shove.
Hey, what's itching you?
Nothing, I say, but Selen crosses her arms. She knows me too well.
Demon shit.
She'd talk to me about it. It's nothing we haven't discussed 1,000 times. But Mika is listening. I'm just worried about the exam. Selen blinks.
What exam?
Headmistress Darcy never goes more than 10 days without a surprise test, I say.
Today's the 10th.
The corner of Selen's mouth curls.
So there might be an exam.
The morning anxiety comes rushing back. Wanda said Mother would visit today, and it makes me all the more sure a test is coming. Mother always makes time after a test to discuss my errors. I'm not ready, I say. I want to compare notes, not kissing stories. Selen sighs. 10 minutes of cramming ain't going to make much difference for either of us. You're better at this than you think. You'll be all right. All right isn't good enough. Selen rolls her eyes. The Duchess will be disappointed no matter what you do. That's how mums are. Selen's voice becomes higher, haughtier, in perfect imitation of Ilona.
Best study hard, girl, because you ain't much to look at.
That's nonsense, I say. Selen takes after her father, with a heavy jaw and broad shoulders. I'm taller than most boys our age, but Selen has inches on even me, and her arms and back ripple with muscle. She actively resists the powder kit, and even when Grandma manages to wrestle her into the vanity chair, she's apt as not to scrub her face clean at the next opportunity. Selen is more handsome than pretty, but only Grandmum is vain enough to think her a disappointment to look at.
No, it is, Selen says. You've always been the pretty one, but I like the way I look, and there ain't a shortage of boys happy to kiss me, so who cares what Mum thinks? You'd be happier if you stopped caring too.
I look down my nose at her. You still care what the general thinks. Selen snorts.
Hey, but it doesn't keep me from doing what I want. Yesterday, while I was kissing Perrin in the stable, Dar walked in to give Rockslide an apple. I look up. and Selin's expression is triumphant. She has my full attention now.
General Cutter caught you.
I wonder why Perrin isn't lying on a hospital bed. Selin's nose wrinkles. Dodged it by a horse's tail. Hid in the one place he wouldn't look. I cover my eyes. Creator, no. Dungstall! Selin's smile is infectious. Perrin wasn't so interested in kissing when I came out smelling like a fertilizer cart. Mika howls, and laughter bursts from my lips. For a moment, I forget classwork, forget my mother, and remember why I love Selin. She must have been fit to burst, holding in that story while I whined about a test that might not even happen. Will you sneak down to see him again? I hate the excitement I feel, living vicariously through Selin's stories. I wish I could have stories of my own.
Feh, Selin flicks a finger. Only so many times you can explain to the washerwoman why your seventh-day dress reeks of horseshit.
Eh? I can't hide the disappointment in my voice. Perrin isn't the brightest ward, but he's sunny to look upon. Selin shrugs.
Kissed him already. First kiss is always the best. Second time they start talking, and it's all headaches from there.
I suppress a twinge of envy, shaking my head. So worldly at 15 summers.
Says the girl who's never kissed anyone.
Selin means the words wryly, but she sees the look on my face, and her mocking expression softens. I can't just go around kissing boys like you, I say.
Ain't always boys, Selin reminds me. Remember when I gave Sandy Pasture a kissing lesson, and she followed us around for 2 weeks?
Maybe it was because you kept giving her lessons, I say.
Selin smirks. Hey, might have something there. Point is, that's the Duchess talking. Teenagers are supposed to sneak around their parents and kiss. I do. Why can't you?
My eyes flick to Mika, who at least has the courtesy to stare out the window. I can't remember the last time a boy my own age got within 10 feet of me without her appearing to interpose herself. But it's more than just Mika and Mother being overprotective. More even than worry over the gossip that would run through the palace if the Duchess's daughter was caught kissing the stable boy. It's because kissing leads to more.